In February, Monica Gomez begins teaching a series of six MCAD TCA-funded community arts program workshops titled Yes, We Can Dinsky that will use visual art and music to generate creative writing. Here to tell us all about it is Monica Gomez. Welcome to State of the Arts.
Oh, it's so nice to be on this side of the table with you, Marina. Thanks.
But you know, last time we did this, it was during our transition show, which has been almost a year. Actually,
wow.
A little over a year,
because that was December.
Yes.
It was in December, yeah.
So
you're doing great.
Our time is due. Well,
you're
thank
doing great.
You.
It's wonderful to listen to you.
I'm still slightly nervous, not going to lie. And then
it,
once
it
we
never
start
ends.
Talking.
No, it never ends. It's I call it excitement.
Yes,
yeah,
that's
yeah,
what it
yeah.
is.
I just kind of like try to transfer that idea to something positive. So I'm not scared. I'm excited. Yeah.
Well, and it seems like that's what you're doing here. You're exciting people about writing through art.
Oh, yes. This is my passion. I have to take my hat off, first of all, to MCAD. Our Museums and Cultural Affairs Department, which some years ago was called the Arts Resources Department. But as many artists know, it's virtually impossible to be funded as an individual artist. You have to be part of an organization, a 501c3, and all that good stuff. So when MCAD began a cultural funding program, not one but two, the Community Arts Program, which is where I get my funding, and then an artist incubator program, which is specific to creation of new work, both of which allow individual artists to apply. That's fantastic. It means that we don't have to leave the city to be hired to do things. We can actually work here and get a living wage with the support of our city. And El Paso is one of only two cities in the state of Texas, I believe the other is Houston, that has funding for individuals. So this is fantastic, and I thank MCAD. So there are many other community arts programs available, and people can find out about them on the MCAD website. Also, interested artists who want to apply, I think when is the cycle starts up in
March? I want to say in March is when, if any interested artist is interested in looking into funding, that's about the time to mm-hmm. start doing it. They do a workshop that's mandatory.
Yes.
And rightfully so. I think the part that is intimidating to lots of artists, so maybe they know that the program exists, but then you have to take the second step, which
yes.
is apply. And MCAD actually makes it pretty simple for you to do that.
Anything is daunting if you haven't done it before.
Correct.
What it does do, and I learned this some time ago, is any artist who has an interest in actually trying to make any kind of a living through art needs to learn to articulate what it is they do, who they serve, how they do it, and understand the details of what they offer. And that is what you are made to do in the process of doing a good job of filling out an application. So yes, MCAD is very accessible and they're user-friendly. Anytime's a good time to call MCAD's offices and just start asking questions and get yourself set up to become part of this great process. It's very user-friendly.
Now, you've been doing this, or you said you got your first funding in 2011?
Yes, that was my first CAP project. And the way that happened, it actually planted the seed, that idea planted the seed for Yes, We Can Dinsky, which is my upcoming series of workshops. But in 2011, I applied for my first workshop, and I coordinated with the museum a little bit. They were very generous, allowed me to kind of go through a stack of inexpensive prints and posters that had been used for education programs. Nobody seemed to be using them at the time, and some were a little tattered, which is just the way I wanted them. And they lent me a selection of those. And it worked great because I was able to take them out into the community, and I researched each piece and ended up putting them in chronological order. And I learned a lot about artistic movements that way. I am not an art historian or an art scholar. My knowledge of great visual artists is limited. But that means I convey the excitement of discovery mm-hmm. to my students. And I'm not really teaching about painting. I'm teaching about personal discovery through the arts, which
right.
is
what does it make you feel?
And how does it make you grow and change mm-hmm. and think? So here I am going through this stack of images, and some tell a story, some invoke kind of a political thought or comments in history, all different things. And then I come across one that looks pretty chaotic to me, and it is, in fact, irritating. I don't like it. I just have to admit, I don't like it. And as soon as I realized how uncomfortable it made me, I realized, okay, that's it. I've got to include this precisely because I know that the purpose of art is to provoke some response. And discomfort is one of those responses. So I ended up using Kandinsky's White Dot. And at first that piece repelled me. As I began researching Kandinsky and why on earth he would create this type of image, I was seduced. It was a magical aha. And that process for me, that experience, is what I would like for people to do through these workshops in part, regarding anything that makes them uncomfortable or initially repels them, which can even be other people.
Absolutely. And his work is really abstract, which I think can make mm-hmm. people angry because it's not in your face. It doesn't tell you what it is. Mm-mm. It doesn't try to tell you what it is.
No.
So it really is up to the individual to figure it out.
And he didn't start that way. He began in very affected by a different school. And so the abstraction was a very deliberate process, a quest for him. And he's considered the father of abstract art. And at first I thought he had really ugly children. And and then I began to understand what his struggle was. The more I learned about Kandinsky, I discovered he was very influenced by music. And that led me to discover that he and the whole an artistic movement that he kind of founded was based on synesthesia, which is the condition in which a person is kind of cross-wired in the five senses. And so Kandinsky assigned colors to sounds and vice versa. So when he heard Wagner, he had this deeper, very visceral experience. And then Schoenberg was the next composer, and I'll be using musical works by Wagner and Schoenberg to kind of set the tone. So it was a dialogue that began at that point in time and led to huge discussions on the spirituality in art and the deliberate blurring of lines between the disciplines. And Kandinsky was the kind of man, he was trained in law and economics, and a brilliant individual, obviously. And so I suspect very precise. So to become imprecise and almost childlike in some of his painting, mm-hmm. almost a deliberate regression into something purer and freer than the way he was programmed to be mentally.
So what was he running away from, you think?
Running away from perhaps too much structure. And another interesting dimension in all of this is that Kandinsky and Schoenberg had a dialogue. They became quite tight artistically until there were some anti-Semitic leanings in the Bauhaus, which is where Kandinsky was teaching at one point in time. Schoenberg, being Jewish, became aware of that, and it created a fatal rift between them. And it goes a little further than that. But mm-hmm. I think in both men as artists, there was some sense of the world order shifting. So what I'll be doing in these workshops, I have some awesome, big, colorful prints of Kandinsky's work. I also have samplings of music by Wagner and Schoenberg, as I mentioned. I'll be using these and going over a little bit of the timeline of what I've been going over with you to kind of get people to start writing about the art in itself and also other ways of using that mental and emotional shift that takes place in a great artist.
When you're teaching writing and you're talking about someone who got away from structure, structure is kind of important when it comes to writing. Mm-hmm. How do you marry the two?
I don't. we go to school to learn how to do the structure of language, mm-hmm. which is, you know, like driving. In order for me to be a safe driver, I have to respect the traffic laws, stay on the street. I can't just go point A to point B through people's clotheslines and barbecues and bumping over curbs and stuff. And we need to do that, like following the rules of language with periods and commas and capital letters.
But you learn the loopholes, the alleyways, the ways around it.
What we do in my workshops, I encourage people to go off-road. Mm-hmm. Just get in that verbal dune buggy. Don't worry about structure. Pick the words that feel good in your mouth, the words that have carry some kind of a load for you. See where they take you. Loosen it up and pull a Kandinsky and get away from excessive structure so that you can access the creative self. And that's not easy for some people, and other people you just go and they take off.
Yeah.
And it depends on who, you know, and that's all good. It's all welcome.
So you have 7 workshops, or is it 6?
6 workshops.
3 of which are definitely open to the public.
Yes. And very quickly, let me cover those.
Yes, let's do it.
All right. The workshop schedule is this coming Thursday at the Hal Marcus Gallery. That's 1308 North Oregon from 6 to 8 p.m. Then February 6th, next Saturday from 1245 to 245, it's the Tumble Word Project, which takes place at the Memorial Park Library, 3200 Copper. Then on February the 27th, at the Holocaust Museum at 715 North Oregon. That's a Saturday from 2 to 4 p.m. Open to the public. And then the other 3 workshops I'll be presenting at Moorhead Middle School, and 2 of them at the Keys Academy, which is the Socorro Independent School District's alternative student teaching facility. I'm really looking forward to that. That's a good crowd to work with. So those are the 6. And for more specifics, or if people forgot the dates, they can email me. It's monica@monicagomez.com.
And what do people need to bring? A pen and themselves?
Pencil and paper. Whatever you want to write with and write on. That's it.
Great. Well, today my guest has been Monica Gomez. Thank you so much. She'll be doing a series of 6 writing workshops titled Yes, We Kandinsky, where she will be taking inspiration from the work of Kandinsky and showing you how to go off-road a little bit with your writing. Thank you so much, Monica, for coming in State of the Arts.
My pleasure. Thank you.